Chapter 8. Choppy Waters. It's Thursday, a few days later, and Allison and I are lying across the bow of a sailboat, legs stretched out as the wind whips through our hair and the sun kisses our skin. I can't believe I've been missing out on sailing my entire life. What else have my parents deprived me of? After handing us life jackets, Harris, who is as uber-hot as my bunkmates have described and, in fact, has a cleft in his chin that reminds me of a superhero in a comic book, divided up the lions who had chosen sailing and then sent us out in boats. Luckily for Poodles, Harris has chosen to come with us, sending the others, who include gelled-out Anderson, immature nose-stuffing Brandon, and a few younger lion girls I recognize from Miri's bunk. But no Miri, out with some of the CITs. And now our boat is up and running, sailing across the glorious lake. But the best part of sailing? Raph's elective is windsurfing. I literally cannot take my eyes off him, partially because he's wearing bright yellow swim trunks, but mostly because I watched him take off his shirt and expose his dark and smooth six-pack of a stomach. Fine. It's more like a four-pack since he's only 15, but still, it's a lean, mean, Greek god machine four-pack. Not that he's Greek. Actually, I don't know what his ancestry is. With a name like Kosravi, I always kind of assumed Russian.
"Coming about,"
Harris calls as the boom swerves to the other side of the sailboat, turning us around. Allison and I cling to our seats, trying not to slide off. Since we're now heading straight for the windsurfing section, toward my Russian-Greek four-pack, I suck in my stomach and strike my most enticing pose. He's waving at me. Sure, his upper torso is now covered by his life jacket, but I think I just saw his arm muscles ripple. A gust of wind emerges from nowhere. A gust of wind, my beating heart, whatever, and tilts the sailboat dangerously onto its side. We all shriek as the cool water splashes our arms and legs. A growl echoes over the lake, and I check out Colton, who has just fallen face first off his board into the water, thanks to my little magical burst.
"I'm okay, y'all," he hollers.
"Ouch," I say. "That looked like it hurt." "Have you ever tried windsurfing?" Allison asks me. We lean down as the boom swings around again. "Nope." Sounds scary. It's a good thing dolphins are restricted from doing it. Then again, how much more dangerous can it be than flying around on a broomstick?
"Canoeing?"
"Nope. I'm not so boaty."
"No worries," Poodle says from the other side of the boat. "You'll learn."
The sight of Raph maneuvering his sailboard distracts me. He seems genuinely in control of his sail, like it's a part of him. He's working the sail like it's a dancing partner, and he's taking the lead. I wish he'd look at me. Why isn't he looking at me? "Look at me, Raph. Look at me. Look at me." And that's when another gust of wind, this one resembling a baby hurricane, sends him flying off his board sideways into the water.
"Did you see that?" Allison asks. "Poor Raph."
"See it. I caused it." Raph splashes around and then pulls himself onto the dock. This time he looks right at me and gives me a sheepish smile.
"Aw, he's embarrassed. How cute."
That must mean he likes me. While Allison takes the sun for the rest of the period, Poodles and Harris flirt.
"You're so funny, Harris."
"You're so cute, Poodles."
And I ogle Raph. Of course, I ogle him discreetly, very unobviously.
"You've got it bad," Allison says.
"Very bad," I admit.
"Attention all campers and counselors. Attention all campers and counselors. It is now the end of second afternoon activity. Please proceed to the back of the kitchen for snack."
It's the next day,
and Poodles, Allison, and I leave the ANC and head to Lower Field. I spot Miri waiting in line for her snack and frowning. She's not going to make friends if she looks so miserable all the time. "Try to pretend you're having fun," I tell her.
"Why?" "I'm not."
"What's wrong?"
"I don't want to talk about it."
I put my arm around her tiny shoulders. "What happened?"
"Do you care, or do you just want to butt into line?"
"Both." I tickle her side. "Oh, come on, Miri, lighten up. Aren't you having a little fun?" She shrugs.
"It's okay."
We take a few steps forward as the line moves. "Where's the rest of your bunk?" She shrugs.
"Who cares?"
"Come on, Mir. Don't you like any of them?"
"They're kind of clicky."
"Miri, you have to try harder. I'm sure they'll love you if you give them a chance." She sighs.
"I'll try. Will you come swimming with me at GS? I'm dying to go in, but I have no one to swim with."
Mir, you know I hate swimming. So far, I've spent all GS's avoiding the water and working on my tan. Her forehead crinkles into little folds.
"Oh, come on. It's so hot out, and I need a buddy to go in the water."
"Ask someone from your bunk." She sticks her thumbnail into her mouth and starts to nibble.
"Maybe."
I push her hand away. "Don't. Your fingers are all grimy."
"Hey, do you want to come check out my bunk at Free Play? You still haven't seen it."
"I can't. It's Morgan's birthday, and Deb made us cupcakes. Tomorrow, maybe?"
"You're busy at Free Play, too? Aren't you going to spend any time with me at all?"
"Oh, poor Miri. You can come to the birthday party." We step up to the counter. "Enjoy." Oscar pours us two glasses of milk and hands over two chocolate chip cookies each. I only take one. "Thank you," we say in unison.
"They won't mind?"
Miri asks me. I don't think